This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzie-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Making the selection for the Boston Bruins, we have a special guest, an award-winning comedian, actor, golfer, and lifelong Bruins fan.
My name is Bobby Gilmore. How are you? Glad to be part of the 2025 NHL Draft. The Boston Bruins select from Boston College.
That was indeed the voice of Happy Gilmore himself there, Adam Sandler, announcing the Bruins' number 7 overall pick on Friday night. James Hagans, as he said, Boston College star, who as of about 6 months ago, some believed might be the number 1 pick in the draft. There was some hope that he would stay on Long Island, go to the hometown team there, the Islanders, but he fell. And Fitzy, you said this. I said this to Dan Ball earlier. You said it off air. This has a little bit of that Marcelo Meyer thing. Meyer thing. Wow, he's here and we still screw his name up. Yep. Marcelo Meyer, when he fell, could have been the number 1 overall pick. You get him at 4, and now he's in the big leagues. We'll see where that goes.
Changes the entire draft plan, though, because you never expected a talent like that that could go first overall to be available to you. So while the Islanders were, and there was that video that went viral on Friday night, we're planning a homecoming party. They had the arena was packed. They were so excited for the prodigal son to return. The Bruins stepped in and literally stepped in it and found money on the bottom of it. And they ended up, you know, bringing the kid in from BC, spoiling the Long Island homecoming. This was a coup for the Bruins. There's actually something positive surrounding the Boston Bruins for a change.
So I'm a big believer in all these drafts when somebody is legitimately potentially a number 1 overall pick and he starts to fall. At some point, the value is just too good. I think that's there. Mm-hmm. Now, there are questions. He's undersized. He's not the typical center size. He's, you know, closer to Andy Hart size than he is the typical center size. Very productive. At the national level, was almost a 2 points per game kind of guy. At the BC level, he was a point per game kind of guy. We know the Bruins could use some help at center, but my guy Dan Ball actually posed something coming into the show that I want to give him a second to articulate on. You don't necessarily believe that James Hagans is going to be a center for the Boston Bruins.
I'm not convinced. The size is a part of that. He hasn't been great just from you know, face-off metrics in college. I think he's an extremely talented player. He's one of the better playmakers, probably the best playmaker in the draft because of the way that he plays the game. Like he,
like it.
I have never seen a kid at his age keep his eyes up and not look down at the puck while he's stick handling at a level that I've seen from James Hagans.
Okay.
He kind of became famous within hockey circles when he first got to Boston College for that skill. So that's why I don't really worry a lot about his size. I think his ability to see the ice, to avoid defenders, and to be able to move the puck is going to be something that far supersedes whatever he's giving up from a size perspective. He hasn't been great as a center in terms of winning faceoffs, you know, shorthanded, things that you need from guys in the Bergeron or Barkov ilk. So I think at very worst, he profiles out as a top 6 left winger. I think he is the perfect playmaker to pair with a guy like David Pastrnak, who's a natural scorer. And I think at 7th overall, in a draft where there was a lot of good talent but no slam dunk, overly elite kind of talent, I think even at worst, if he ends up being a winger and not a number 1 center, you still love the player because he's going to be fantastic.
So he's 5'11", a buck 80. Marchand's 5'9", a buck 80.
Right.
So I Marchand ain't no center.
Right. Exactly.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
But Marchand was, like, this guy has played center his whole life.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Like, I like to see guys at least try to continue to defy the odds. Oh, you got to be a prototype. You got to be this to play a certain position. I'd like to see him try personally.
Yeah.
But the first thing I think you need to bring us up to speed on, what is the realistic or potential timeline for you draft a guy 1 year at Boston College, you draft him with a 7th overall pick. What's the earliest and then what's the most realistic timeline to say, oh, he's actually on the ice with somebody named Pastrnak?
I think realistic. I think he goes back to school and spends another year at Boston College.
Okay.
And then I think he signs and he should be on your opening night roster in 26, 27.
So delayed gratification by a year.
Yes. And I think for a guy his size and the fact that now apparently Boston College is just the pipeline for the Bruins, I don't mind another year. I don't mind a year of development for a guy in a year where I think we all recognize that the Bruins probably aren't going to be, they're not competing for a Stanley Cup in 25-26. I think if they manage their assets right, they could have a pretty good chance to compete in a year's time if they do everything right. But it's kind of going to be a lost year. I don't need him to toil down in the minors, go play for a national championship at Boston College and be ready to go in a year's time.
So the rest of the Bruins draft, we don't need to run down. It's not a Phil Perry mock draft, so we don't need to go seven rounds deep.
What are you talking about? You guys don't want to go the whole way through?
But there was, so you get good grades for the most part based on a guy who was once considered a possible number one pick fell to you. Automatically, you're just going to kind of get good grades. That's the way grading works. Yeah. But there were a lot of questionable picks thereafter, some Belichickian picks. I even saw reference to there's a 500 prospect big board that everybody kind of uses, and they drafted a guy that wasn't in the 500 player big board.
Yeah.
Like, this is that classic, who the F is this guy? We're on TV.
What is it that they know that everyone else doesn't know?
Or don't know. They haven't exactly drafted well.
And it wasn't a Mr. Irrelevant either. I think it's the Vashek Blanar.
Yes, I believe that's been
pick number 100 in the fourth round.
Old Vashy.
So pick number 100.
Yeah, there were
a big board goes 500 deep. You took him at least 400 spots too early.
I'm gonna mock 400. You out.
That seems a touch preemptive.
That's like 11 rounds too early.
Good Lord.
Somewhere Belichick's like, won't they get on him a little? Somebody should be laughing at them.
That's why I kind of can't believe they actually made the Hagans pick, because that pick at 100 overall is a Don Sweeney pick. Actually making the pick of the best player available, I was terrified that they were going to let him fall and take the kid.
Oh, yeah, that was a Yahoo.
That's just turn on auto draft and keep calm and carry on. But don't you think there would have been like riots outside the Garden if Hagans was available and they passed on him?
Yes, within the, you know,
riots might be strong.
A small
within
riot.
The disappointed,
a disturbance,
base,
maybe
yeah.
A gathering.
Three guys with a burn pit, like Stiz.
Yeah.
So they trusted PJ Axelsson, who is a scout out in Sweden right now, played for the Bruins for a while.
Wait, if you play for the Bruins, they often hire you in retirement?
That's correct.
Okay, just double checking.
If you went through the Bruins scouts, you would be, you'd be impressed.
It'd be like a roster in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Although we can't bitch about both. We do need to be a little consistent. If we bitch about the Red Sox hiring guys who just stare at computer screens, then we should praise the Bruins for hiring guys that are just old school hockey guys.
Yeah, but the Red Sox guys were hired by a former player,
but he
also stares at a screen.
He doesn't remember that he's a former player. He's lost that. He's
he does
lost
not
his
sound
baseball
at all like
way.
A former player.
He is a quant. He is a Yale-bred quant. He is no longer a former major leaguer. But proceed, PJ Axelsson.
That is correct.
So he was the one who found this kid that they took in the fourth round. So will we ever hear from him? I'd be a little surprised, but that was what Scott McLaughlin cited in his article on the day two picks, which was extremely well done. I thought they did a decent job overall. They got an A from ESPN. I saw them lauded for especially the first two picks between Hagans and Will Moore, who's, surprise, surprise, is going to Boston College.
Mm.
Those two
guys, pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Got a lot of talent on that roster. Is the better hockey team in Boston in the Heights? 617-779-7997.
Literally just funneling them from Chestnut Hill over to North Station.
Legitimately, all four of Boston College's centers this year should be Bruins property. It should be James Hagans, Moore, Andre Gasso, and then Letourneau, the kid that they drafted in the first round last year who did not score a goal.
And they could use centers.
They could. I liked what they did. The one that intrigues me a little bit, too, is their third-round pick, Cooper Simpson. 49 goals in 31 games for Shakopee High School out in Minnesota, and then 7 goals in 9 games when he then transferred over to the junior level. So very good natural goal scorer. I think that's a skill. And he's also playing with Will Zellers, who they got at the trade deadline this past year. So,
all right, we got to touch on the Brad Marchand thing, though.
Yes.
Brad Marchand. So long ago, you know my whole theory was he goes away and he comes back.
Yeah, I liked it.
Now people are actually talking about it as a possibility. I don't know if it makes any sense anymore, though. I really don't. For where they are as a team, as you kind of tore it down / are reloading, however you want to describe it.
Retooled was
reconfiguration?
Yeah.
And now he has sort of painted himself into a mercenary, you know, join a good team and I'll help you win a cup kind of guy. I know I'm like extrapolating from one visit, but you bring him back to Boston, all of a sudden it's Brad Marchand's team again. He probably has a C on his sweater, and you're asking him to be a leader, a scorer, a top guy, Whereas in Florida, you can kind of get in where you fit in. We see that. He has a great finals, and he doesn't even win the MVP.
Right.
So how does it make sense for him to come here again? Also, he just went there, scored, and won a cup. He can't be less valuable, and they didn't want to pay him whatever he was asking for when you traded him. So logically, how do we – I love the story. I want Brad Marchand back just for the story, even if it's like we sign a new deal with the Bruins. They also do weekly interviews with Brad Marchand on the Midday Show with Rich Keefe. That'd be great. But
Not happening.
How does it make any sense for him to come back?
It's a great question.
Inball's shrugging on the radio.
I wish I knew.
I don't think anyone understands. I think we all had, at this point, and I know we're up against it here in a second, but like I think at this point we had all kind of come to terms with Marchand not returning.
Right.
So, the fact that there could be rumors.
Reports. Darren Drager. Look for Utah, Boston, and Toronto to be among those with strong interest if he hits the market.
Go to Utah. Stay in Florida. Understood. Go to Utah. Hooray. That's
sweet
great.
New Good logo and jersey.
Yep. Great team.
Oh, you're in
name.
On them?
Great
on
the team mammoth. Name. The Mammoth?
Mammoth.
I just still don't understand why it's Mammoth, not Mammoths. Anyway, Toronto? Disgusting. Like, no.
He just won the cup with
gross.
The Panthers.
Gross. I mean,
the hammer to your nail in recent hockey history.
But if I'm the Leafs, I'm trying to move heaven and earth and every hockey rink in between to bring Brad Marchand up to Toronto because he seems to be the secret sauce that I would think.
Just sign 1 year deals and go to like Bruins rivals.
Why not?
Just sign with Bruins rivals and crush the fan base year after year after year.
Disgusting.
I'll give this quick. The Bruins do need goal scoring. Marchand on the wings. Marchand is a goal scorer on the wings, and they love their former Bruins. So I think it's natural that they're going to poke around on guys that they already know because they don't have to go out and scout them. But it makes no sense because he doesn't mix in with your current leadership group that you're trying to establish. And he's old. His need to win doesn't match with your timeline for winning. So it makes no sense for either side.
617-779-7937, taking your calls on Celtics, Bruins, whatever it may be. And Dan Ball hates when I do this, but I'm going off his rundown script.
Oh, no.
I'm just going straight to the top of my head. Because I saw reports on social media of Tom Brady and Sidney Sweeney. That's all I'm saying. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons. With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Why are we playing baby making music? Well, because Tom Brady was at Jeff Bezos' wedding in Italy. $50 million affair, I believe I heard.
The security budget was more than the operating budget of 10 radio stations.
And it was on some area where there were like two bridges in, and once they shut them off, no one could get in or get out and all of this whole thing. And who's who list of guests? Tom Brady, Sidney Sweeney, Oprah, everybody was there. Which is a side note, I always wonder, like, are you really friends with those people? Like, are you just showing off who you could have?
No, you're showing off. I doubt Bezos and Brady are in any group chat.
Yeah, it's very weird. Okay, anyway, but Brady's there. Among some beautiful, beautiful women, Sidney Sweeney, who we formerly talked about on WEEI Afternoons because she was selling soap made from her bathwater, and Brooks Nader, who I wasn't overly familiar with, but is an SI swimsuit model whose father is involved with the LSU football program.
The hell is she doing there? How does she have a connection to the Bezos?
I don't know, but she's a smoke show. Okay. And
I believe that's the connection.
Yeah. I would invite those types of people too, like Oprah. No, you didn't make the cut. Sorry, Brooks Nader. Yes, come on in. And my wife would be like, no, she didn't. She's on the Q list.
Why are you inviting these beautiful women from LSU, Andrew?
It's just an interesting benefit. But Tom Brady, all the tabloids say he was dancing with Sidney Sweeney. He was having fun. He was dancing with Brooks Nader.
If you're Tom Brady, why aren't you dancing with any and every available lovely lady in the room?
And they're only like 20 years his younger. So because of his former coach,
it's hardly Belichick.
Age is not an issue.
No.
Literally, age is not an issue because his former coach has made that seem like a far more normal. Plus, 47 divided by 2, 23, add 13. Like, it's in his range, isn't it? Divide by 2 and add 7?
He can only sort of be there, Dad.
But no, it's fine. These are all legal. This led me to something that I think Brian Frazoka wants me to say on air in a major market radio station.
What is this all about?
Sidney Sweeney?
Yeah.
I don't think she's as attractive as
people
make
it. Listen to this.
I'm just telling you.
Andy off air was like, I told my wife to listen at 3:50.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Stop listening 1 minute later because Brooks Nader, who I'm not familiar with, smoke show.
Tom Brady.
Darth Nader.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, Tom Brady is in Italy living the good life.
Funny, because she's much better looking than her dad, Ralph.
No, we're not doing that.
Yep. We are. I just did it.
We're having a fun segment about hot women and Tom Brady. This is supposed to
You don't want to talk about libertarian?
Don't drag it down with politics and old white men.
I would love to. Where would you put, like, being a fly on the wall in the Bezos wedding? Like,
okay, I thought you were, like, in the boudoir of Tom Brady. And
oh, no.
A little creepy there.
Oh, no. Right now, I mean, yeah, how about that? I mean,
multiple hours into the reception when everyone's nice and sauced up and the real party starts.
That's what I'm talking about, Stiz. Just like, you know, like all the lamb chops and like all the little chicken satays have been passed around. I'm sure they were serving walrus carpaccio and other things, mastodon, anything you couldn't eat anywhere else in the world.
I like that your brain went to the food first.
Like super expensive food. Dom Perignon was probably like the well champagne at a Bezos
Sydney Sweeney standing over here, but Fitz is like, how about that carpaccio?
Oh, man.
And when I go to the open bar, I go, Miller Lite? And they're like, what do you really want?
Where are we? What is the Miller Lite of it? What is the Miller Lite of Italy? Peroni?
I really would like a Miller Lite.
You're not going to get one.
Please.
Actually, he probably had dug up the bones of Augustus Miller and had him brewed.
Should have everything. But do you think this is one of those places because of the security and Bezos and all of that, and you're surrounded by celebrities, just celebrities? Is this a place where they actually open up and just have a good time and their ties are off and they're dancing and they're...
Yeah, you can't get into the island. There's no paparazzi.
That's what I mean.
There's no, like, there's tight security. Nothing. I'm sure, unlike, what was the story, Dan, a few weeks ago where we went into the whole, like, put the phones away? You know,
Steph
bag
Diggs.
Up the phone. Steph Diggs. Yeah, unlike
yes.
the Cardi B, Steph Diggs.
Or
well,
like
thank
the...
you, Stanley. Yes, this was probably a, hey, listen, we have staff photographers. We'll share lots of photos afterwards per your approval. However, put the phone in.
Like
the
Taylor Swift one from the other day when she showed up at Tight End U. And immediately you see 1,000 phones come out recording everything. This is the opposite.
And Sophie Scott.
No phones.
Sophie Scott with the photo. With
I didn't care for that. I'm done with Sophie Scott.
Wait,
move
why,
on
what
with
do
Sophie
you mean
Scott.
You didn't care for it?
I need Sophie Scott on my timeline with Taylor Swift. I gotta start cleaning out the timelines a little bit. Some of these people that
have
followed over the years.
Work your algorithm.
But which would you pick?
Now we're literally we're literally playing.
Yeah.
Would you rather?
No, we're playing
Sydney Sweeney or
you're Tom Brady. You know how they say, like, if you're a commissioner for one day, what would you do to the league? If you were Tom Brady for one day, what would you do?
Okay, I'm gonna
or
quote,
who?
I'm gonna quote from Office Space. You know what I figure a guy like me, if I'm Tom Brady, could do? Two chicks at the same time.
You think they're?
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
No kidding.
Yeah. No, this is the Tom Brady stuff I want. You know,
I like the fact that he's steering into, you know what, the world owes me one, or I'm going to have fun because I'm Tom effing Brady.
This is, you know, this is not the...
kids.
What were we criticizing the other... Oh, when he said...
Not relatable.
Bill and I have always had a great relationship.
Yeah,
that's the Tom Brady I don't want.
Right.
But the Tom Brady who shows up at a wedding where there's some of the most beautiful women on the planet and is like, I'm not married and they're at a wedding and I'm at a wedding.
And also, I'm Tom Brady.
Right. Like this
we want
is the
Tampa
Tom Brady.
Bay Parade Tom Brady.
That's
yeah,
what kind Stiz,
of. Loosen
yes.
him up a little bit.
Yes.
Open bar, loosen up. Okay, there's
I
women,
heard
let's
Blaine
go.
Gabbert was actually there just to watch Tom Brady's back.
This is, I don't think he made the invite.
You don't think
no,
so?
No,
no. No Blaine Gabbert at the wedding.
What does Tom Brady have to do with Jeff Bezos?
That's the thing. He's Tom Brady. That's it.
Is that just how that works?
I think it's just
money. Andy, when you are the richest person on planet Earth, you can collect humans.
Wow.
People want to be there because it, like, you know what the gift bag probably was? I'm sure weddings don't normally come with gift bags. Like, the takeaway isn't a mug or a trophy or a photo frame. It was probably like a mega yacht.
But if you're Tom Brady, do you guys have that conversation when you go to a wedding? You probably don't yet quite, Dimple. Like, oh, my wife. And over the years, it evolves. And you're like, what's the going rate for a check to write for a wedding these days? And you're like, back in the day, it was probably like $75. And then you're like, has it gone to 100? Has it gone to 150? Has it gone to 200? What check does Tom Brady write for the gift at a Jeff Bezos wedding?
That's an NGN, no gift necessary.
Yeah, do you even give? What
do
you give to somebody
probably,
who has it all?
He probably throws 5-10 G's in a card.
You think?
You don't think so? I don't know.
Where was he registered?
Bezos just spent $50 million. Yeah, no, oddly enough, like, wait, shouldn't I be able to create a wish list on your website?
Bezos needs towels? Who knew?
He needs nothing. He runs the website that has everything in the world. And he already also has it. This man paid out his ex-wife $500 million, and he didn't even feel it.
So Tom Brady got invited to Italy doesn't have to bring a gift and is dancing with Sydney Sweeney and Brooks Nader?
You're telling me
Tom Brady won the week.
I don't want to tease Stiz what Friday's going to bring, but remind Andy that he knows who won the week.
All he does is win. Tom Brady, even now, long into retirement, just keeps stacking dubs. Oh, hi, Dan Ball.
I almost took out a light doing that. Sorry. This is from CNN, so it should be reliable enough.
Fake news.
They asked for donations, contributions to charity.
Charity. That makes sense.
Okay, so you know what you do? Probably. If I'm Tom Brady, no. $25,000 to.
But then what happens when you see Oprah gave a million and you're like, boy, do I look
good? Oh, S word.
Like, it's the same thing.
She's Oprah. That's what she does.
You're talking about how. Hey, Alex. He doesn't have a wife anymore, so I assume he calls Alex for everything. Alex Guerrero, what do I donate?
Ben, his handler. Okay, Ben does.
Ben, what do I donate? How do you find that out? Because you don't want to be the cheapskate when you find out somebody else gave 100 times as much.
Wait, hold on one second. Oh, Jeff Bezos and Lauren are opening up. Oh, look at this. Tom Brady donated $50,000 to the TB12 Foundation. How about that?
You know who will ask this? Ted Johnson, when he's here tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But Ted Johnson isn't talking to us today. But he was talking to, Karen Garigian, writing about the New England Patriots and Ted Johnson's favorite quarterback. Or is he? Ted Johnson's comments on Drake May up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Afternoons with Hart, Bitsy, and Johnson on WEEI.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home.